Matthew chapter 4. Let's not put it up there yet. We'll wait a second. And Stu, that if you were here Tuesday night, I think you just stole my message from Tuesday night, but that's exactly what we preached, so exact scripture and everything. Yep, amen. Man, it's good to see everybody again. I feel like it's been so long with the weather we've had, and I think Tuesday night we went ahead and had service, but we had like four people. But we had a great time. How many guys are glad to be back? Awesome. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, God. God, we thank you for this time you've given us to come into your house, Lord, to be in your presence, to learn more about you, to reach out to receive more, God. Come and touch lives today, God. It's not just about the quantity of people we touch, God, but it's about the quality. God, to those people come into this house, Lord, I ask you to touch their lives and change them, Lord, that they'll never be the same. What work is it that we're doing if we can draw a big crowd, but we can't change their lives? Use us, Lord. Touch us today, God. God, we need you more than ever before. Be in this house, Lord. God, maybe those that wonder why they even walked into this place today, God, that you reach out to them specifically and talk to them, Lord, and say, this is what it's all about. Their life is more than just waking up, going to work, living our life and dying, God, but we have a purpose and a reason to be here, Lord. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You've told us what to do, God. You've told us why we're here, Lord. You have a plan for us. That there's so much more to life than just living for ourselves, but it's about living for you, God. We thank you today, Lord. Speak through me today, God. I need you, Lord. I can't do this by myself. Thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, guys, we're talking about planting the seed for this year. Have a couple sermons on this, planting your seed. But today, the title of this one is Becoming Fishers of Men. That there's more to life than just, like I pray, than just waking up every day, living your life, and dying. What a useful life, useless life. To think about your life is that all you do is you wake up, you provide for yourself, your family, and then one day you'll die. If you look back on your, when you're in your deathbed and you think, wow, what did I accomplish in this world? You could lay there and say, I've got millions, I've got billions of dollars. I've created the biggest empire there is. But when you die, you leave all that behind. What have you done to change eternity? What have you done to take with you? What is it that you have that you can say, you know what? Not only am I going to live with God forever, but I've changed others' lives that they'll be able to do the same. That I'd hate to lay there one day and say, wow, God, you are real. I'm getting ready to die and I did nothing for you. And maybe that's happened to, you know, it's happened to people before, but if you're in here today, you're not on your deathbed and it's not too late. That you can still begin to do something to change this world. I want you guys to think about, this is the beginning of this new year, this 2014, that many of you may have made up New Year's resolutions. You may have decided to get in shape or decided to read your Bible more or whatever it may be. But on the spiritual aspect, what have you decided to do different? I know even myself, we can find so many things that say, God, this year I want to change this in my life. This year I want to be a better person. This year I want to show your love more. This year I want to be a different person. I want people to see a change in my life this year. I want you guys to think about, first of all, people around you that need God. People around you that go, wow, they really need to change their life. People around you that you say, man, I wish I could get them to church. People around you that you say, man, I wish they'd find the Lord Jesus Christ like I have. Think about those names. But planting your seed in 2014, planting your seed this year is to begin to do something in your life that plants something into those around you. That one, that they begin to see God's love through your life. That they begin to see something different in you than those of the world. God has called us to plant the seed. A farmer knows when he plants a seed that he doesn't plant a seed and immediately it bears fruit. He knows that when he plants a seed, not immediately can he harvest it. But it's about taking time and watering it. And believe me, sometimes they'll plant a seed and they water it, but sometimes God comes along and he sends the rain. Sometimes God comes along and he waters it himself. And it's the same way as you begin to step out and show God's love, that sometimes you try to plant a seed in somebody's life and maybe you don't see any outcome of it. But God will send others along and they begin to plant that seed too. They begin to plant more seeds in their life. And you let God do the work. Just do as he's called you to do, to step out and do something. Three things, guys. This year, invest into yourself, invest into people, and invest into God. You invest into all three, a lot of it by investing into yourself. That when you invest into spending time with God, you invest into prayer, and you invest into the Word, you're making yourself a better person. You're able to speak more into people's lives, and you've drawn yourself closer to God. Begin to invest into something, guys. Maybe you say today, I'm a no one. I don't know anything. How can God use me to do anything? How? You don't know my past. You don't know where I came from. I'm sitting here today, maybe you say, and I don't even know God as my personal Savior. But you know what? God wants to do something in your life. Well, let's go to the scripture and I'll get into further into this. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Remember that. Then immediately left their nets and followed him. Then he said to them, all right, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their fathers and followed him. Immediately, when God called them to follow him, they changed their life. They changed their lifestyle. They changed the things that they did. That it wasn't, they waited a while. They didn't say, God, prove this to me first. They said, immediately, they changed what they were doing and they stepped out and followed Christ. They changed their way of thinking. They had lived to edify themselves, but now they're living for God. So what they were doing in their life before was about gathering up for themselves. that we're living a life throwing out to receive more. But God said, okay, guys, that's great. You need to provide for yourself. But follow me, and I'm going to show you what life's all about. Follow me, and I'm going to show you what will excite you in life. You like to fish? I'll show you how to catch some real fish. I'll show you how to catch fish that'll not only change their life, but it'll change your life. He said, follow me, and I will make you. Here's the deal. Let's go back to that one. Verse 19 there. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here's the deal, guys. You say, I can't do that. I can't speak to other people. I can't plant seeds into their lives. He never said you could. He said, he will make you. He will instill that into your lives. He didn't say, follow me and go do this. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So it's not about your abilities that you may already have or don't have. It's the abilities that God's going to give you as you begin to follow him. It's the abilities that all of a sudden you go, I don't know how God's going to do this. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how to follow him. But I'm going to do what he says, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to watch what he does in my life. I'm going to watch how he changes the way I think. I'm going to watch the way he changes the way I process things. Because my life that I once lived, I no longer live. But we become a new creature in him. We have a new character. We have something completely different. That we die to our old selves, and he gives us somebody new. He gives us somebody that is in his image, that is like him. So we begin, that's awesome, that he would put it in those words. I will make you fishers of men. So he's going to make you into something great. He's going to make you into what he wants you to be. It's not what you are, it's what he will make out of you. You say, what? I can't do it. You probably can't, but God can. That God can change the situation. God can change whatever it may be. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, you know what? I've done so many drugs in my past that I can't even think straight anymore. That I don't even know how to read anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. That he will make you be able to do it. He will change your situation. He will change your life. Let's go to Genesis 1:1-5. 1-5. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth was without form, and it was void. It was dead. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evenings and the mornings were the first day. It goes on to say what it will become. It goes on to talk about what will grow, what will be on the earth. But what he did is he saw something that wasn't, and he made it so. He saw something that if you would have looked at the earth, you'd say this was useless and we could do nothing with it. That if an astronaut and different scientists began to look at the moon, they say, really, there's nothing we can do on it. There's no gravity. We can't do anything with it. There's no living things. There's no point to put people there and live there because there's nothing we can do with it. That God looks at it, not at what it is, but what it can become. And it's the same way in our lives that he likes to take people that look like they're nothing and show what he can make out of them. He likes to take people that look like they've been through so much that God could never use them and say, look what I did. Look how I've changed their life. That he wants to make you into something different. He wants to make you a miracle. He wants to say, the world would look at, they're a mess. They're never going to be able to change their life. they're never going to be. I mean, I love that. It's when you see somebody that's so messed up in the world, somebody that's so doped up, somebody that's an alcoholic, somebody that's just got their life all messed up, and watch God come and intervene and change their life. And watch God come in. The one that walks in that door and people are like, oh no. Oh man, we're going to have some troubles. Oh no. He wants to help? How do we tell him no? The one that we look at and say, there's no way we can use them. And God's going, that's the one I want to use. That's the one that's going to make the biggest impact. That's the one that those around him, that know her, are going to say, wow, there's something real about this God. Wow, that you could take this person that had nothing going for him, and he's changing the world. And he's changing the world. That God didn't take the wealthiest, the richest, the most powerful. He said, oh, you're a fisherman? You're trying to work for a living? You know what? Let me show you what I can do with you. Let me show you. You say the only skill you have is to throw a net out and to pull it in? No, no, no. Let me show you the skills that I'm going to give you. Let me show you the things that I'm going to be able to do in your life and not only change you but those around it. No one could see how great the earth was until he revealed it. That each and every one of you, I believe, has something great inside of you. But until you let God reveal it, most can't see it. But it's about saying, God, I'm going to follow you, and you can make me what you want me to be. God, I'm going to follow you, and you do what you want in my life, because here's the deal. If I just try to do it, I can't do it. If I just try to do it, there's no way I'm going to be able to impact anybody's lives. There's no way I'm going to be able to speak to someone. But God, you said to follow you and you'll make me fishers of men. Okay, God, let's see this. Let's see this. About just stepping out and letting God do what he wants to do. If you try to analyze it, if you try to figure it out yourself, you'll never step out. It's called a step of faith for a reason. It's called a step of faith because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to do. All that you know is you're putting your life in someone else's hands. But it's about letting God change you. It looked like it had no potential. But when God gets a hold of something, he changes how people see it. He changes how it looks. He changes everything about it. The world was void and without form. He said, let there be light. Let things grow. All these different things, and he changed everything about it. There was darkness that covered the earth. There was darkness that was out there. He said, let there be light. And there was, and he saw that it was good. So when you begin to follow him, he'll say, let them be this, and you'll see that it's good. That just because maybe right now you say you're not good, doesn't mean you can't be good. Maybe you say right now that you're just, you're void, you're dead, you've got nothing to give. God says, let me do it, and I'll change it. Let me have control, and you'll be a different person. Let me have control, and I'll say, let there be light, and there'll be light shining out of you. I'll say, let there be light, and those around you will see my glory. I'll say, let there be love, and those around you will see the love coming out of you. That God can change the situation. A fisherman catches a fish, and it dies. And then he does what he wants with it. As we're called fishers of men, that we catch a fish, we catch others for God's glory, it dies to the world, it dies to itself, and God does what he wants with it. And God does what he wants with it. That what he's calling us to do is not to be this this person that can figure out all these things, not this real smart person that can go and analyze all these different things, but he just says, just cast your nets upon the water, and I'll bring in the fish. Just do as I've told you to do, and I'll bring it in. We're caught and we die to ourselves. We are saved and now transformed into a fisherman. So we go from being the fish that are caught, and then we're transformed into the fisherman catching more. And God's plan here is to transform your life so you can help transform other lives, so that he can use you to transform more. It's the same way with the business aspect and the gym aspect. The more members you get, the more people they know and the more they can convert in. And the more that it grows, the larger it grows and the quicker it grows. Same way with the church. The more people you get, the quicker it begins to grow because there's more people talking about it. There's more people spreading the word. There's more people doing what God has called them to do. God hasn't called us to say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and then just continue to live the way we've always lived. If you do, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable, you're going to hate being a Christian, and you're going to hate life. It's the truth. If you never step out and do anything for him, you get the fullest of joy. You get the greatest joy out of serving Christ. You come into church, you go to church, you go home and you live your life. You come into church, you go home, you live your life. You're sitting on a fence that's not very comfortable. You're sitting on a fence saying, I still like the world, but I want to be a Christian. It's kind of like a fish that flops out of the water. I want to be a person, but I need the water. I don't want to be in the water anymore, but I can't live without it. That you're just sitting there and you want something, but you never step out and transform. You let God transform you into something else. But just imagine that fish flopping. But how miserable is it for that fish when he flops out and nothing happens? And he just stays there and eventually he dies. Then it's the same with our lives, God. Don't just accept Christ into your life. Do what he's called you to do. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That if you just step out and you accept him as your Lord and your Savior, and you're just saying, okay, I'm here, God, that there's this thing inside of you saying that you want more. And until you grab a hold of it, you'll never be happy. It's like gambling, guys. You gamble and you make a little bit of money, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I want more. I want more. But the problem with the gambling is there's a pretty big risk you take, first of all. But secondly, you go and you grab more, and it's not enough. You grab more, and it's not enough. You grab more, and eventually you lose it all. You get greedy. But the thing is with God, the more you get, the more excited you get. The more you get, the more you want, and there's no risk of losing all that. The more joy that you get, that when you gamble, maybe, when you gamble, you're only happy when you're gambling. When you're with Christ, you're happy all the time. That the joy comes from within. That you're saying, God, do what you want with my life. Do what you want with me. And all of a sudden you're like, ah, this is great. This is awesome. I'm not saying bad things won't happen. We're in an evil world. We're in a world full of sin. But what I'm saying is that when things come against you, you know what? I'm not doing this alone. I got God on my side. That God's here with me. That, oh, I lost my job. You know what? It's okay because God's on my side. You know what? My kid's sick. They say he's going to die. It's okay because God's on my side. They say you're going to die. You know what? I could care less if I died or not, because if I died, I'll be in a better place. And if I don't die, I'll be able to bring more people into a better place. That no matter what objects you look at life, that you're still filled with the fullness of joy. That you're still filled going, you know what? I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing what God says for me to do. That I'm going to continue to do it. You guys still out there today? Yeah. Amen. I said, we're saved and now transformed into fishermen. You may have been saved, but until you become one that is converted, then you're only halfway there. You're only halfway there. Because you say, God, I'm accepting you in my life. But until you step out and do what he's called you to do, you're just in the middle. It's like going and getting a loan for a car, right? You go to the dealership, you're excited about this car, you get the loan, yes, I'm approved, I've got it. But until you go pick it up, you don't really get to enjoy the fullness of it. You don't really get the excitement of it. You don't really understand what it's all about until you step out and grab a hold of it. That you can say, yes, I've got it, but until you do something with it, what use is it? I bought a new car, but I haven't put any gas in it. That you begin, there's got to be a change. There's got to be something different that you step out into for you to feel what it's all about. To when you wonder, maybe you're sitting there and you wonder why I get all excited about this and you think I'm crazy up here. It's because I've stepped out into something different. I've stepped out and said, wow, this is what they're talking about. You guys look at me like I'm crazy. But I get excited about this, guys. I get excited going, okay, the more I grab a hold of, the greater it is. And now if I stand still and I don't grab a hold of more of God, there's no standstill parts in your spiritual life. Because if you're standing still and you're not doing anything, you're actually taking steps away from God. You're losing your relationship with him. So you're either stepping forward or you're stepping backwards. And the thing is with God, the more you step forward, the more you grab a hold of, the more excited about it you get. The more real you realize he is, the less likely you'll ever turn away from him because you're seeing how great he is. Then when Satan comes to lie to you and says, you know what? He's not real. You know what? Look what happened in your life. If God was real, would he have allowed that? Look what you're doing for him. And you go, Satan, get thee behind me. No, I know who is real. I know who I have authority over, and I have authority over you, Satan. Get out of my life. Get out of my family's life. Get out of my house. Get out of my financial life. Get out of my spiritual life. That we have authority over him with Christ. If Christ has called us, we must go and catch others. We must go and catch others. Maybe you're sitting out there today and you think, wow, how can I do that? Wow, that's scary. It gets fun. It's not about being that annoying Christian that has their Bible. Here, have you read the Bible before? Do you know about God? Have you heard about God? Can I talk to you about God? And you're going, oh my gosh, leave me alone. This person's crazy. That you begin to push God away. Come on, do you know about God? Come on, can we talk about God? You're going to hell, son. You're going to hell. I've seen people do it. I was training a person at the gym, and another lady came up. I don't know if she was trying to impress me or what, but she told the girl she's going to hell. The girl started crying and ran to the locker rooms. That's not what God called us to do. He called us to show love. This is why when we have outreaches, if any of you are new, all during the summer, even during the winter, but summer especially, we do things to reach out to the community. And I tell everyone, and we're going to have meetings this year before we start it, but I tell everyone, we're not even talking about God. We're not trying to say, oh, here, come to church. Here, this is about God. Here, read the Bible. We're not giving out tracts. We're not giving out pamphlets. All we're doing is trying to show God's love and let God work through us. Just saying, hey, we just want to give this free food to you guys. Hey, we're doing this barbecue. Well, what do you mean it's free? What's the catch? There is no catch. Well, but the church is doing this? Do we have to come to church? No. We just want to show you God's love. And a lot of times it'll bring into a conversation. Well, what kind of church is it? Well, when are your services? That you don't even have to try to nag them about church. That God opens up the way. That he opens up the door that even when you had no idea what to say, he'll open it up and speak through you.
We We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.